Good morning.
Okay, back on the record. And we're with appellants. Where we left off was we're still on direct for Mr. Cohen with appellants. Are there any procedural issues we need to address before we get started?
Not from our side.
One question I had was, did we get A14 admitted, identified as a exhibit, or was that the one that was not admitted? I think that was the last one. Was that the email? It's A312.4.
I have my notes that it was.
Let's make sure which one that was.
That was the Puget Sound Regional Council study.
Right. Okay. So that and I don't. We don't have that marked as admitted yet. So
I think we all agreed yesterday that it was
any
admitted.
Any objection to the Puget Sound? Okay.
Nope.
All right. So that's admitted.
And I think it was A315 that wasn't admitted.
Right. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Cohen.
Good morning.
You are under oath still. Yesterday, before we ended the day, you and I were talking about stressors that impact both the maritime and industrial sector in Washington in general and the maritime and industrial sector in Ballard in particular. Do you remember that?
I do.
And can you remind us what is the impact of those stressors on those clusters?
The impact is that growing encroachment or perceived encroachment, there are a couple things. One, there's a perception that long run that those businesses won't be viable or there's not support for those businesses as there's more non-industrial use that gets in close proximity to industrial operations. But more acutely, businesses were concerned that as there are more non-industrial uses actually happening in close proximity to those industrial operations, that particularly residential operations, residential uses, that'll help to that'll adversely affect and curtail operations at those businesses. For instance, having to change their operation schedule to accommodate concerns about noise among residents that live in close proximity to that industrial operation.
Does that kind of go hand in glove with the agglomeration concept that if you start peeling apart this group, you undermine the entire cluster?
It has an adverse impact on the agglomeration benefits and the agglomeration effects because what we learned in our studies in the maritime industry, for instance, as well as in other clusters across the state, but particularly with the case in maritime, is that there's a high degree of fragility within the cluster. And this was communicated to us through direct conversations with businesses. The example I gave yesterday was not directly in that the area of study, but it was within the BNMC, in which a shipyard shared with us that they share a crane, for instance, with two other businesses. And if any one of those businesses goes away, or the one that operates the crane, it'll have deleterious effects on the operations of all those other businesses that use that crane. And so there's examples like that where there's shared resources, there's shared assets, and when one, and as well as just simply serving the needs of businesses within the cluster, whether it's a refueling operation for fishing vessels, whether it's a shipyard for fishing vessels and repair operations, and if one goes away, it could have a sizable impact on the viability of the other businesses within that cluster.
In the course of your work, did you review the economic considerations report that was part of the draft EIS?
I did.
And did you review three drafts of that report?
I did.
And the maritime industrial cluster study that you and your firm did in 2013 and then updated in 2017, were those either of those referenced in that economic considerations report?
Not to my recollection, no.
What about the Puget Sound Regional Council study on industrial lands? Was that referenced in that economic considerations report?
Not to my recollection, no.
Are Are either of those maritime industrial cluster studies, the 2013 or 2017, are they hard to find?
No. They're readily available online.
What about the Puget Sound Regional Council industrial land study?
That should also be available online, but it's also a public document, so it should be easily accessible.
So did the economic considerations report that was included in the draft EIS, did that use a hedonic model?
Yes.
What is a hedonic model?
A hedonic model is essentially a regression analysis, but it's a statistical means of disaggregating the attributes of property value. So looking at the different components statistically to determine what features or attributes have what effects on property value using a regression approach.
So we're talking about real property, dirt, here.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that's the right model to use to look at impacts to businesses in a maritime industrial cluster, looking at property values?
In my opinion, I feel that it's an insufficient approach. I feel like there's many other methods that are actually much less complicated and, to me, much more intuitive to get at an understanding of the costs that would be borne by industrial users based on the research question in this study, which was what would those impacts be to those businesses.
Did the hedonic model that was used in the economic considerations report in the draft EIS look at impacts to single-family home real property as well as industrial land property?
It did.
Is there any single-family home land zoned land within the study area where the trail is located?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Do you think that the hedonic modeling and the modeling done in the economic considerations report was flawed?
I did.
Do you think it was incomplete?
I feel like the approach was incomplete.
Let's turn and talk about some of the findings. You can turn to volume 9, exhibit 350.64, please.
What exhibit number was that?
350.64. Mr. Cohen, do you have that document in front of you?
I do.
I'm sorry, one second. I will try to find it in the electronic version. It's
nine.
While Ms. Ferguson is looking for that, could you just fill me in on what this is?
Certainly. This is the first draft of the economic discipline report that was prepared by Eco Northwest, which is a subconsultant to ESA, which is the prime consultant to SDOT for this project. And the reason that you see the ESA logo on the first page is that ESA uses a template. You'll hear that from Mr. Johnson when he testifies. For all of their subconsultant reports. And this report is dated January 29th, 2016.
Was this part of the draft EIS, the EIS?
The economic considerations report was only included in the draft EIS. This version was not, which is what you'll hear. Mr. Cohen, did I accurately describe this document to the hearing examiner,
yes.
Your understanding?
Yes.
And did you review this document as part of your work?
I did.
Would you please turn to page 4-3 of that report, which is also, and I'd like to mark this as A16, I believe, Mr. Examiner?
A 15.
So if you turn to page 4-3 of what's been marked as Exhibit A-15, would you read the highlighted language in your copy that starts at line 7 on that page and goes down through line 10?
The operational impacts may entail some winners, those whose businesses or business residents benefit from increased accessibility and pedestrian bike traffic, as well as quote-unquote losers, those who are detrimentally...
Pause for just a moment. The chess clock ran out.
I guess we're done.
It only goes up to 9:59. So 59. All right. No, I'll clear it, and then this will take a minute. Okay. Just take a 5-minute break so I can clear that.
As we go, I'm going to label the right exhibit in here to make it easy for everybody. So that's what I'll be doing.